This episode is brought to you by 3Chi. 3Chi, it rhymes, is the industry leader in Delta 8 THC products. Delta 8 is a federally legal version of THC and is a more functional alternative to marijuana. It gives you an amazing buzz and great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. Go to 3Chi.com, the number 3CHI.com, to shop for Delta 8 edibles like cookies and gummies, or to shop for vapes, tinctures, and oils that can be used to make your own homemade edibles. Use code GUNS21, G-U-N-S-21, at checkout and receive 5% off your order. Must be 21 to purchase.
Some years ago, a crack commando comedy unit were given jobs above their pay grade. These men promptly were put on leave and escaped to an underground podcast stockade in an unknown location. Today, still unwanted by big media, they survive as comics of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and you can find them, you can listen to Guns Blazing.
I get so much Steven Seagal shit sent to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to respect the guy's body of work, right? I mean, he has done no less than 5,700 films in his day. Granted, we haven't seen 5,693 of them because they went straight to some shit-ass DVD or the bottom of Netflix. But the guy must have made a gajillion dollars. So my question is, when you just get that much money, and evidently you must have been some form of a badass at some point, is it impossible to have that much money and still maintain your level of badassness? Or you just let yourself become a total fat bag of shit and stop practicing your martial arts and just you rely on all camera tricks?
Oh, so you think it's camera tricks? Sucker, you're a sucker, bro. You don't even get it. It's so high level. You think it's camera tricks.
I get it. I mean, used to on camera, dude was great. People were flying all over the place. He was fucking flipping people around. He was pushing them through walls.
Listen.
And now it's like, all right, I'm going to touch your wrist. We're going to stop the camera real fast, speed things up, and you just jump in the air and do your own somersault, and I'll just breathe heavy.
Yeah.
And then, boom, here's another gajillion dollars. Like, he didn't even have to be Steven Seagal anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll make the movie around him. All he's got to do is just sit there in a chair and be a 7-foot fat bag of shit.
I'm going to say this. Is that you know how much of a badass you are when you have a regular French name. His name is Steven. Okay.
Whoa.
Maybe his friends call him Steve. I don't know. I wouldn't do disrespect a man like that, no matter how many, you know, straight to TV movies. But when you type in the name Steven in Google, he's top two.
Oh,
type
yeah.
it in, pull it up, open a window.
Who's
type it in everybody right now. You open up a Google window
right now
and you type in Steven and then tell me Steven Seagal ain't at least the number two guy.
Steven Spielberg
came up.
Number one.
Yeah. The first time I did it, he was number two. The second time, number one. And guess who's number two? Steven Spielberg, bro. That's
wow.
Who's number two. Nobody even gives a fuck. Steven Universe is.
I'm looking at it right now.
An animated series. He's not even. I mean, Steven Spielberg movies, Steven Seagal children's. I mean, listen, this is, you're talking to the GOAT. You know, he's a GOAT. And I think that
you got to respect the body of work. I can't take that from him. The dude is out there.
I tell you, he's
the number one Steven in the Google list.
Yeah.
Of results.
And that's why originally, from what I understand, Stone Cold Steve Austin made his first name his third name out of respect for Seagal.
He's like, well, I know I'll never be the number one Steven.
Also, if you're
I'll
born
go with Steve.
If you're born on April 10th, that's not your birthday. That's Steven Seagal's birthday, and you happen to also have been born on that same day of the year.
You know who else is born February 10th?
Listen, he was born
Elvis Presley.
Look at that. Well, I said April 10th.
You know why I know that? Because there was a movie a long time ago with Mr. T in it called DC Cab, and Gary Busey was in it. And in there, Gary Busey had a line that said, "I don't work on February 10th because that's the king's birthday." I'll never forget that line.
I love that, bro.
Maybe it was February 8th.
And the way he does, we have to redo the videos, bro, that he does.
We should. I think you sent that. It's what got me fucking thinking.
Yeah, you got a gi. I know that.
I do have a gi. I need to go find it. I think it's in my mom's house.
And I will say that I was going to write the word gi in the text, but I said suit instead because I didn't know how to spell gi.
I think it's GI.
Ooh,
if I remember right, it's really gi.
Yeah, I should have fucking known, dude.
Yeah, because when I was a kid, I used to think it was Gi Joe.
Oh.
I didn't know it was GI Joe. The cartoon.
Yeah, that's right. Because you were very into the martial arts at early age.
I was like, why is he not wearing a gi? It's Gi Joe.
I mean, people just don't understand. If you don't really know what you're missing out on when it comes to movies, I mean, there's just so many good Steven Seagal. And you know what? Honestly, at this point, we've talked about this guy a decent amount that I almost feel like he's our fucking co-host.
Yeah,
also,
he should
be. Bucket list, Steven Seagal on the podcast. Who can make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
I got to fucking write that into existence.
Wow.
The number one Steven on Earth. Hold on here. On Earth.
You're speaking it into the universe.
Pod. Yeah.
You're causing a Steven universe.
I might call in some fucking favors on the publicity side, bro. People don't know that I could call in favors, bro, if I wanted. I don't want to call in favors, though, bro.
Why?
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, you shouldn't need to rely on favors.
But
Steven
this time,
Seagal should want to do this podcast.
You're not wrong.
Does that mean I'll finally have to fight him if he comes on the podcast? Or do we bury the hatchet that he doesn't know exists?
I say just go ahead and bury it in between the sheds, like dead center. So it's kind of like a chi thing.
I'll put this out there right now. Steven Seagal, if you're listening, I will no longer want to fight you if you come on this podcast.
Oh, man. I mean, dude, above the law, under siege, on deadly ground, exit wounds.
Executive decision,
I
would argue.
Weapon, the Asian connection, bro. Code of honor.
General commander, which is a redundant title, by the way. Pretty much means the same thing.
Doesn't even make sense. He still made it a great flick. I mean, there's just so many, bro. And I think a lot of people, hard to kill. Get off my nuts. Out for justice. Under Siege 2, Dark Territory. I mean, this guy ran. He was in the fucking, and then somehow he just popped in on an episode of Roseanne in 96.
I mean, I don't know how Hard to Kill didn't win an Academy Award. Kelly LeBrock's performance as the love interest she had that line that made the whole movie to me. Mm-hmm. It's when, you know, the team of ninjas attacks the house. He's at her house because he, you know, she was a nurse. Obviously, everybody knows the story. He was in a coma because he got shot when he was an undercover cop. And then he wakes up and then, you know, all the cops are in on it with the bad guy ninjas. And they find out he's at Kelly LeBrock's fucking house, which, by the way, is a multi-million-dollar mansion. Cops, yeah. I mean, she's a nurse that does very well for herself. And in fact, I think actually she was house sitting. Now I'm wrong. She was house sitting for a friend who was rich. And when they attacked the house, you know, during the attack or whatever, Steven Seagal, actually, there was explosives involved. They're driving off. And at some point after he whipped all the ninjas' asses and killed most of all of them, there was a couple left alive. And then, boom, the house blows up while they're driving off. And Kelly LeBrock, at that moment, the timing was impeccable. As soon as the explosion went off, he's driving in this Jaguar that was in the garage that belongs to her rich friend's husband. And Kelly LeBrock, right when the explosion turns off, turns around and looks at the explosion and then looks back at the camera and goes, "I hope I didn't leave the oven on." Boom. Boom.
You can't write that kind of stuff, man. It just happens.
I mean, there's that line and there's "life is like a box of chocolates." Those are the two greatest lines in cinema history.
Damn, man. I'm getting a little teared up over here, to be honest.
Come on.
How do you not get teared up?
I don't know.
I don't get it. I don't even get people who don't get teared up, dude.
Kelly LeBrock was fucking hot. He was married to her in real
life.
And
to have the depth of it, to have the depth to be able to drop off from doing Under Siege just a couple of years sooner to being on an episode of Roseanne. I mean, listen, when they didn't cast him in Black Hawk Down, I almost gave up on war movies.
Right.
I was like, this is absolute fucking tyranny. Okay. This is absolute dog shit. This is people pulling strings. Somebody called in a favor to get themselves on it, to get Steven Seagal off. But when I saw that Seagal wasn't in Black Hawk Down, I was out of the movie almost.
Steven Seagal was originally cast in Black Hawk Down when it was under a previous title. It was going to be the end of that film series that he was doing that you're talking about. So originally, the name of Black Hawk Down was going to star Steven Seagal, and it was going to be called Hard to Fly a Helicopter.
Oh, man.
It was to follow Hard to Kill.
Dude, I love a good what if, you know, like what would have happened? Yeah. I mean, what if? Talk about that might have just taken over the entire Mission Impossible operation, like all of their box office, you know, launches and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What's up, Todd?
And it wasn't even going to be originally about that platoon of Rangers, that company of Rangers that got trapped there. It was going to be about, they were still in that country. But it was going
Somalia.
But it was going to be, he was in Somalia. He was an undercover Somalian cop. He got shot by some crooked cops that were involved with some bad ninjas. He goes into a coma, and his nurse is Kelly LeBrock in Somalia. Wow. Wakes up, boom, the rest is history. A helicopter goes down in the middle of Somalia. He has to save it.
You know, when actors fall in love on set, you're like, what are you going to do? You can't stop it. Like, these are the hottest people, some of the hottest people on the planet. That's why they're getting these roles. Like, what are you going to do? Get in the way of that?
Can I ask you a serious question?
Ask away.
Let's say you were of Steven Seagal fame. You're an actor. You right now, Sean Latham as you. But you're now Steven Latham. And you are starring in these blockbuster movies. You're a gajillionaire. What actress, because you have to marry an actress, what actress would you be married to at least once?
Before I met my true queen, who I'm in a relationship with now? Like
this,
early on?
This is in a parallel universe where you never met your current lady because you're a gajillionaire actor and you just never made it to that part of the country. And plus, when you're a gajillionaire blockbuster actor, you have to marry other actresses. So in a parallel universe, you're Steven Latham, the badass action hero in all of cinema.
Or Sean Seagal.
Or Sean Seagal, either one. What actress are you married to? At least once. You don't have to be currently married, but in your prime, you were married to.
I would have probably married Alyssa Milano.
Oh, God. Damn, that's a good pull.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Before the politics, I don't really want to live with any social justice warriors right now.
Yeah, that might be the greatest quick off the top of your head pull for And for someone perfect of your age, because you're at that age now, you were the baddest ass action hero, and now you're getting these roles where you're only in them 15 or 20 minutes. You don't have to do much, but they still give you a gajillion dollars, kind of like Bruce Willis is doing right now.
Yeah.
But at your prime, you were with Alyssa Milano, probably the most sought after actress sexually by TV viewers than any other actress of her time.
Yeah, while being in the same age group, you know, 17 and under.
Right.
You know what made me, I kind of know what kind of made me think of it was because I was watching some new movie last night with my chick, and the mother of one of the characters was fucking Angela from Who's the Boss?
Oh, big nose Angela.
My lady goes, is that the mom from Who's the Boss? I go, Angela? and you goddamn right, it was Angela. She's still playing moms and shit on movies.
Damn.
It was on the documentary about the dude that bombed the 1896 Atlanta Olympics. I don't know how the thing goes. I just only watched the beginning of it and fell asleep, but
she was in that?
Yeah, she plays the mom, I believe.
Wow. That's great.
What a career of longevity.
You're talking about the Clint Eastwood movie, Patriots Day. No, not Patriots Day. I'm an idiot. The guy, the security guard that they accused wrongfully, but it's a Clint Eastwood movie. God, so she was the mom.
So he was accused wrongfully. Damn, I knew it.
Yes. It was a setup.
Wow.
It was a setup. He was a fall guy.
I'm still fucking watching it, bro. I even know you just fucked it up. I got my reps in today, bro. I was out there throwing my 1,000 bags this morning.
Really? I'm going to go out this evening and throw. I was going to throw this morning. I'm on this thing right now, man, where I think I'm screwed up from being sick. By the way, I don't believe that I did not have COVID.
Yeah.
I don't. I think that was a false negative.
All three of them.
Yeah. If my test was a false negative, then I think that Stuart Huff's test was a false positive. He and I had the same thing, and he fucking tested positive. I mean, our symptoms were identical. So my body's like fucked up where I'm tired all the time. So I'm going to bed early, which, you know, isn't my style. So I'm waking up at like 5:30 or 6, fucking wide awake. Here I am.
Here I am, 5 a.m., 6 o'clock. Let's do some stuff. Today you went and you posted some shit about everybody becoming such a warrior of each side of the political space.
Yeah, because you know what? I don't care what side you're on. Just shut the fuck up. It's time for us to be a team, America. I mean, and maybe I just got that. My heart's a little soft right now because the 9/11 20th anniversary celebration.
The Colts did lose as well. The Colts lost.
Which I thought was, not as bad as 9/11, but definitely I didn't want to see that on the 20th anniversary weekend. I don't care if you're right or you're left or what. Here's my thing, Sean, and this is my theory. See what you think about this.
What's your thing?
Anyone who's that much, anyone that has that much of a problem with people that don't think the same way as they do. And again, I don't care what side you're on, but if your social media page is nothing but fucking bashing the other side of your opinion, I think you were never on an organized sports team ever in your life. I don't think you ever played organized sports. You were never a teammate, because what happens when you're on a team? There's people on that team you don't even like as a person necessarily. Yeah. They think the opposite of you, but when it's fucking game time, boom, your teammates.
Yeah. Lock in, buddy.
Think that way for once in your life. Think of being an American as being on the biggest, baddest ass fucking sports team in the history of sports teams. And you're not going to like everybody. You're not going to fucking agree with each one of the fucking players' opinions on shit.
You're not going to hang out all of them after softball and go to the bar league. Some of them.
Exactly. You pick the ones you like to hang out with. You fucking let those people create your mood for the day. You talk about and celebrate those people. Don't spend every day fucking bashing the two or three fucking teammates that you don't like.
I will say this too, Todd, that the people over at 3Chi, these watermelon candies are so good, but they fucking really know how to make it seal up so kids can't get in it, bro.
Mine fucks. I fucking rip mine every time. Like, it's so hard to open. I think it's childproof packaging. We just got to watch some YouTube videos on it.
I just ripped it the fuck apart, bro.
There's
no kids in here. I had to manhandle the package.
Those gummies are so good, dude. I don't know why they don't come out with a non-Delta 8 candy.
Just a straight piece of candy.
I would just buy the shit out of it by the truckloads.
It is so good, just as being candy alone.
Yes.
These little gummies. The watermelon is unbelievable. I mean,
unbelievable.
I eat these motherfuckers all day.
I mean, I got to be careful because I will eat too many and I don't have your threshold. So I will go into La La Land, which I enjoy. That
somebody I know that's not, a pothead like I am or whatever, I could eat a couple of them, no big deal. Mm-hmm. But I had a buddy eat one, and I think he felt nice after just having the one.
Yeah.
You could have the one and be a few hours later, you're going to be feeling nice.
I can see that. I do the one, and my body feels good. I do the two, come on.
Yeah.
Feeling right. Number three, I do three to complete the 3Chi. Then
oh, shit.
I am at one with my sofa. We are the same.
You lock it in right there.
And I like it, though. Sometimes that's how I like to consume a documentary. And then I'll go back and watch it a second time because we're going to miss some shit. But I really dive in deep. You used to tell me that all the time, pre me being able to consume that. I used to be like, dude, you will see shit and look at it from a perspective you've never fucking done before, that you're not capable of without. And it's so true. You notice shit. I'm like, why does that guy fucking lean heavy on his left foot every time he fucking walks?
You know what else I like? I like the extra sounds I'll pick up.
Mm.
You pick up a lot more sounds, or like crispness of things, or, you know, just small little subtle shit. You pick up subtle shit, really.
Absolutely.
There's a lot more of a subtle picker upper subtleness, a subtlety. Mm-hmm.
I missed a whole, probably what the whole documentary was about. I don't even remember which one it was. But I remember this guy had a little bit of a gait to his walk, and he kind of leaned heavy on his left. Not quite a limp, but I'm like, I spent the whole documentary waiting for them to explain why he fucking leans a little heavy on his left foot when he walks.
And they never addressed it?
No, probably because nobody else even noticed it that was making the movie, but I noticed it. And now all of a sudden, this is what this entire documentary was about. I think it was about some guy that's fucking revisiting his childhood from some kind of traumatic event. But all I can think about is, fuck, the guy's got some kind of arthritis in his hip or something.
Maybe he got a cleft foot.
Maybe. Maybe he fucking stepped on a landmine in Vietnam, just like you just stepped on a fucking dog.
stepped on my dog.
I heard your dog go,
"Arr!" Sorry, boo-boos. She's been a little under the weather.
Nice. So
I think she's like something's up with her muscles, like she's out of nowhere just downshifted. We got to get some blood work done on Monday.
Hopefully it's just because this happens of dogs of certain age. Sometimes they just get inflammation in their joints and it's got to run its course. So you may have to go in there and get some anti-inflammatories.
I got her some pain pills. That's what we got her.
Yeah.
So she's all hopped up right now in Vicks and Perks.
Nice. Did you know that they
also, she got some Zanny bars.
They have doggy Zanny bars.
Yeah, doggy Zanny bars. It's a fucking Zanny bar for doggies.
Yes, for dogs that have anxiety.
Yeah, and she's been taking 600 milligrams of Percocet. She's also taking 400 milligrams of ibuprofen and also 400 milligrams of Vicodin.
Damn, she's like a fucking retired linebacker from the NFL.
Yeah, and she's also been drinking small little thingies of alcohol, little Buffalo Trace buddies.
Oh, nice. She keep them in the little, like on her collar, like the St. Bernards, the rescue dogs?
Yes, I actually do have it. I've connected it to her pouch.
Nice.
I mean, into a little pouch that hangs from her collar.
I like it.
So, you know, listen, but she's coping, you know, and she's getting through it. And she's not driving. She doesn't have a car.
No.
You know what I mean? If she has any kind of big shows or events or galas to go to, you know, we make sure we keep it low, only half dosage of the Zanny bars. You know what I mean? The doggy Zanny bars.
It's the best part about being a dog. There's no piss tests. You don't have to worry about operating any kind of heavy equipment, any machinery. You know, you can be fucked up all the time if you want.
Yeah. And also I got her a stroller, and I took the walls and I lowered them so you can see her nice. You know what I mean? It's more of a platform than a stroller, a wheeling platform. So she can kind of make an entrance, you know,
love that.
Like, who don't want to make an entrance at some sort of moving vehicle that's not an everyday run-of-the-mill, you know, Honda Accord. You know,
everybody,
I mean?
Does. Everybody does.
Yeah.
You need to get at one point, are you going to have her, like, is she going to be one of those dogs that has the, like, the back leg cart?
You know, like we haven't wheeled it out. We haven't ruled it out. Mm. Or wheeled it out. You know what the best entrance of my life, one of the best entrances of my life was? Not best, because I think Radio City Music Hall was my best entrance of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Coming out to Radio City the first time. Second time, also unbelievable. But one of the top five come outs of my life was at the fucking, the Calgary Stampede a couple summers ago. And I was on the back of the Budweiser horse carriage with Biz Nasty. And we sat there with our cowboy hats on and shit, bro, waving to the crowd. And they obviously knew who he was, but they were just like, yeah, hey, what's up, Biz, and the other guy with him?
Uh-huh.
You know, but I still got to be on the back of those Clydesdales, bro, nice. Rolling into the fucking main rodeo.
Damn.
And we did a lap, and we went back off, and I waved my hand up high, and I waved to all the Canadians out there, all the Canadian rodeo fans. I was with Biz Nasty.
Always wanted to wave my cowboy hat in a circle.
Oh, man. It was a good feeling. I think we might have did it.
Like I just lasted 8 seconds on the toughest part of the rodeo.
You know how excited you got to be to throw a cowboy hat off into the air? Because those are expensive hats.
Mm. Listen, do you remember the movie? It's the greatest rodeo movie of all time because it's the true life story of Loudon Swain. Is that his name? Loudon, the greatest like bull Dylan rider of history. Yeah.
Dylan from 90210.
Yeah, he played him. Yeah, in the movie 8 Seconds.
Yeah.
How badass would it have been when that came out if the movie also only lasted 8 seconds? That somehow they encapsulated that whole guy's life, who was the best. He had ridden more bulls for 8 seconds than any other bull rider in history. And they made a movie about his life story, and it only lasted 8 seconds. But it was still great.
It could be the greatest short story of all short stories of all time.
Why did they never think about this? Why am I never in the Hollywood pitch room?
Where are you at? They should have you patched in at least on the wall. Listen, another great rodeo movie. George Strait. What was that movie? He played a country guy, and then he goes back to his roots, and he don't know who he is. He shaves off his hair.
Heartland.
Pure country. Pure country.
Yes.
And one of my favorite lines of all time was when Harley Tucker's dad, after he finds out, thinking that he's been lied to by George Strait the whole movie, and they're out back of the fucking rodeo, and you know, and George Strait goes up to Harley Tucker's dad. He tries to talk to him again, and then Harley Tucker's dad takes his cowboy hat off as he scratches his head and holds his hat in the same hand, you know, and he says, you know, the funny thing about chicken shit. No, hold on. He says, you know, the funny thing about the black speck on top of chicken shit. Well, that's chicken shit, too. Yeah, he walks
what
it off.
What a great line.
Oh
my God.
The funny thing about the black speck on top of chicken shit is that it's chicken shit too. Fucking old man, the old country ass farmer of wisdom, bro.
Oh God, that's so good.
Now, can we break that down a little bit? Is he saying that he, even though he seemed to be different, he was just the same as the rest of them?
I forget who they were talking about in that scene.
Well, because remember, George Strait, he went undercover. He didn't tell the family that he was George, that he was, you know,
a famous country artist.
Yes. And he went, he shaved his shit. He skipped off tour. Mm-hmm. And then he just went and he ended up meeting that girl, working at their farm with him and shit, and learning to ride and roping and shit with her, and going to the rodeos with her and being part of the family with the brothers. And they all loved him. They were even writing songs one day out back.
Yeah.
Together. Mm-hmm. All the little weird brother.
And it's when he came up with that song, like the big song, which
I cross my heart.
Yes.
And promise to. Yeah. I'm a fucking George Strait guy, bro.
Oh, dude, he's so good.
Yeah, bro.
And the music holds up to this
music
day.
Holds up to this day, dude. George Strait is, listen, these guys were the triple OGs, bro. They were back then, you know, tearing up ass and keeping it moving. They were players. They were fucking around the road, getting lit, living it up, bro, you know. But then he wanted to call it quits. He wanted to settle down. You know, he found himself
life
a nice
got out of control. It was going too fast. It became more about being a star than about being an artist.
Yeah,
it was, get back to his roots.
Too much smoke, too much mirrors, too much smoke and mirrors, if you will.
Let's get back to the pure sound.
Sure did. He went back out to the porch, and of course, his buddy, the drummer, knew where to find him. After a couple of little bit of trips here and there, tracks him down. You know, like a good buddy could. You know, you would definitely track me down, Todd. If I went AWOL for a little while, I'm sure you could probably track me down. You'd probably track me down real quick before lunchtime.
I would. You'd probably be on some ranch somewhere, sitting on a porch, writing jokes. Instead of writing the next best country song, you'd be writing the next best comedy bit.
Yeah, just going
with some old man on a porch of his ranch.
You want me to tell you some of my premises I'm going to write on that ranch?
Yep.
All right, I would talk about the funny shit that cornhole professionals hear in arguments from their wives.
Okay.
So like if you're a cornhole pro and then your lady, you guys are having problems and you know it's not working out, and then she kicks you out of the house, you know, the shit that she would say to you on the way. Why don't you get your fucking beanbags and get the fuck out of here? Carol, I said, don't call them beanbags. They're cornhole bags. Get your fucking beanbags and get out of here, Ronnie.
Get your $2,000 worth of fucking beanbags. By the way, we need a new fucking furnace. But no, you had to spend $2,000 on beanbags.
It's not a real sport, Charles. If you could get drunk while doing it, it's not real. It's not a real, you're not a real pro, man. Mm. Like, you better fucking watch your mouth, Carol.
I will.
I can hear one of these days, Carol. Just laying into somebody like that's just an amazing cornhole player, makes a lot of money, he's a pro, and then the lady just discredits it all.
Just leaving, he walks out on her, just packing up all his sets of bags.
Don't forget your fucking score tower, asshole. Hey, here's your Bush Beans jersey, you prick. Like, can you imagine a lady yelling that shit out the window? Oh my god,
Jesus Christ. There needs to be a movie about a cornhole professional. We should be working on that script right now.
I'm already working on it, Todd.
Boom.
I actually have a synopsis and I have scenes.
Nice.
And I have 40% funding on this fucking thing, actually.
Nice.
It's pretty wild, but
let's shoot the pilot.
I'm ready, bro. I want it to take place out back of a fucking truck stop.
Mm.
That's where I wanted to kick off. Kind of like, listen, I wanted my movie to have original, like whatever movie I've got popping off with, I want it to have a real gritty, you know, any which way you can style feel to the film. That's why I want to be truck drivers involved.
A lot of truck stop back, you know, like underground games going on for big cash.
You got to, you know, there's like a little ladder into the back of the truck where there's a lady at a desk and she's the registration.
Oh.
She pays the money. Mm-hmm. There's another guy. And it's big money, too. It's $1,000 entries and shit. And then like a guy, you got like two guys that sit in the side with automatic weapons.
Oh, there's nobody. There's no fucking around.
Like, this is legit. And then you got guys playing, all the truckers playing in a fucking double elimination tournament and shit breaks loose. You know what I mean?
Now, are you a trucker like Sylvester Stallone and Over the Top where you're like when you're driving, you got like a little board on the other side of the cab, and you're just throwing like mini beanbags all the time you're driving.
Yeah, or that and
a band where you practice your motion for the flat bag over and over again.
Yeah, that and also maybe the bag spin, a lot of spinning going on.
Oh,
in there.
Yeah, spinning that on your finger.
See, I didn't know. I wanted to be a truck. The only problem is with production. Now I need to fucking get some semis involved.
You might be able to pull that off.
You know, I can get my CDL. I know that. But otherwise, I could just be, you know, I could just be with my buddy in his truck or whatever.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, we definitely, you know, there's some great guys. I'll tell you why this works later, but I'm telling you, it's fucking legit. This is actually legit. There's going to be fight scenes in it. You know, really Kenny Eastbound and Down type shit. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I actually kind of want to edit this out.
I know, but this is a fucking great idea for a fucking show. Kingpin meets Big Lebowski meets
us.
Meets Clint Eastwood's any which way you can. I mean, come on.
Come on, guy.
It's a perfect recipe.
Oh, shit. Yeah, but we had a nice little fucking, I had a good weekend and shit. A couple of shows in Fort Wayne was looking kind of weird. A lot of little stuff was unfolding, didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
But ended up being two really good shows. Had a great time.
Nice.
Ben Polizzi came out and did work with me again. And then he brought his homie with him, who was really funny.
Ben.
This other guy named Scott White was on the show out of Texas. It was good. It was good room. Good people. Shout out to our Patreon homies that showed up. We had Travis there, Jason, Banawicki Nikki. Yeah, Megan was there. So, you know, we had some Patreon love popping in, and we had had ourselves a nice little strip. It's a strip mall comedy club.
I love it. I got to set up a date in Louisville. I keep forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
Keep reaching out. My homie keeps reaching out to me about it. And I keep fucking forgetting, but right now I'm going to make myself a little note right here on my little notepad that says Louisville, book it. Boom, with an exclamation point.
Yeah. And I'd say if you do Fort Wayne, do the original one outside of town there in New Haven. Don't do the one downtown. I don't just do the fucking one that's the one that I did.
Yeah.
It was a fun room. A lot going on in there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's like a bar next door, but it's kind of like just kind of older folks hanging out doing their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, some good, you know, I got the egg rolls, you know. I'm always going to go if a restaurant offers them some sort of egg roll, I usually go at the egg roll. I got a thing with egg rolls, dude. I need a fucking egg roll. I want to eat all the egg rolls.
Better than an egg roll. I'm telling you, everything in an egg roll. That's my restaurant. I don't want no sandwiches.
Yeah, just all egg rolls, bro. That's our restaurant, by the way.
You can put that in the yes, let's do it. You want to make a sandwich out of that? Nope. Egg roll. It goes in the egg roll. Boom.
Reuben egg rolls.
Delicious every time, I believe.
Pastrami egg rolls, Black Russian egg rolls, fucking turkey egg rolls, cheesesteak egg rolls, chicken cheesesteak egg rolls. I mean,
cheeseburger bacon.
Cheeseburger, bacon, Big Mac egg rolls, because we can put the special sauce in there.
Yeah, that's what the Thousand Island.
I mean, BLT egg rolls, fucking pork roll, egg and cheese egg rolls. I'll do breakfast egg rolls, dude.
Jesus. Yeah, breakfast egg rolls.
Catch me egg roll. What should we name this place? Egg Rolling?
Egg Rolling. I like it.
Thank you for calling Egg Rolling. This is Sean. Today's egg roll special. We got the PB&J egg roll. We got the PB&J egg roll.
I'm writing that down too. PB&J egg roll. I don't know why I've never made that yet.
That's gonna be good as fuck. Maybe you want to freeze the peanut butter and jelly and prep it first into like a little, almost like a, take some Saran wrap. This is what I do with my steak butter, right? So when I'm making steaks for people, I make a steak butter. I'll go in there, obviously, you know, I'll chop up some garlic. I'll put a little garlic powder in there, a little bit of pepper. You know, I'll chop up the garlic real nice. I'll chop up some maybe a little scallion real nice and real fine, and then mix it in with the butter, and then I just wrap that up in a Saran wrap, right, like a joint almost.
Boom.
Do this with the egg roll, with the peanut butter and jelly. I think you lay it out, you put the peanut butter down, you put the jelly on top, roll it up nice, kind of like you would a sushi roll, so that you could put it in the freezer, and then when you unroll it out of the plastic, you put the fucking, you know, the egg wrapping on it, and then you can deep fry it. It won't get messy.
Damn. There we go. You know what else? Like, my favorite burger in the world is a peanut butter bacon jalapeno burger.
Okay.
So it's a burger. It's a bacon burger, except there's peanut butter and there's jalapenos.
So you're going to get the richness from the peanut butter, a little bit of sweetness. Obviously, you're going to get nuttiness.
Sweet versus heat, which is savory, classic.
You know, the peanut butter almost serves as a binder, if you will.
It's so good. And so I'm thinking that's a good egg roll.
That sounds like it could be a nice egg roll right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and my lady, we've been, before we went to J-Mac and Kristen's wedding last week, we're like, you know, we were like, all right, well, let's try to look, you know, let's each try to just not eat all, as much as we normally do this week.
Mm-hmm.
So we both did it, you know, just to like try to look slim down, make the suit look nicer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, I forgot the point. We're eating some. Oh, you know what we've been doing? We've been hammering just hamburger patties. But what I'll do is I'll take the pickles. My lady loves these pickles that we got.
Mm-hmm.
And I slice them up real nice and, you know, make like a little medley of a couple different pickles. Put a little red onion raw on there.
Nice.
Put a little bit of fucking ketchup down. Drop the patty right on there. Boom.
Love it.
Who wants this?
You know what I've been doing? Because I've been getting a lot of the salami because I'll stay keto 70% of the time.
Uh-huh.
So when I'm really craving like potato chips or some kind of snack like that, what I'll do is just get out the pastrami. I get out the sliced cheese.
Okay.
And so I go one slice of pastrami, put a piece of cheese on there. I take pickle spears and I cut them up into small chunks. Put a chunk of cut pickle spear on there.
Okay.
Little dab of mayo just to make you go, hey-o. Fold it up. Boom. That's a bite. I'll just eat that until I can't eat anymore. There's nothing I love more than that combination because I love pickles.
Yeah.
I love me some pickles.
Well, I'm excited right now because we only have one pickle left in that jar, and I'm taking the juice and I'm gonna brine some pieces of breast, chicken breast with that shit.
Going all Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. And it's another level of action that if you're at home and you're looking to cook, you need to be brining your chicken in fucking pickle juice of some sort, of a pickle juice brine. Brine Brothers has some, no free ads, but they have bought ads on my show. So, but it's a really good one. You know what I mean? And it just when, and then you use buttermilk, obviously, whenever you're doing the breading and whatnot as the, you know, binder there. but you know that, and then it's just another level of action. And you know what else, you know, the other key is to making it really unbelievable is once you deep fry it the first time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You put, you know, you got a few minutes one side, you flip it, you got a few minutes on that side so you don't burn it and shit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The panko or whatever you're doing it with, Japanese breadcrumbs. So then you take it out, you let it cool on a napkin, I'm sorry, on a paper towel in a dish, and then you put the fried chicken back into the fryer.
What?
For a second fry. Mm. That's how you get next level crispiness, Todd.
Chicken fried chicken. That's what you just
made.
Yeah,
you
that.
Do. It takes, after you do the proper brining with the pickle juice, after you use buttermilk with the egg and all that, and then you go for the double deep fry, it's going to, because if you fry it the same amount of time without taking it out and letting it cool, then it burns the breading,
mm-hmm,
or the panko.
Yeah,
so it's makes sense. Flavor up. Now you let it out, cool it down a little bit, and then right back in that bitch.
You want to hear what a pickle psycho my lady is?
Yeah.
When the last pickle's gone from the jar, mm-hmm, she takes the jar, she puts a strainer over the top of those giant Yeti tumblers.
Uh-huh.
Fucking pours the entire jar of pickle juice in there, strains out whatever little seeds or little pieces of dill are floating around in there. Boom, into the tumbler. Puts the lid on it, puts it in the fridge, keeps it in there. Every now and then, makes her way through the kitchen, opens up the refrigerator door, pulls out that giant Yeti tumbler of fucking pickle juice, takes a big swig, puts it back in there. She just drinks pickle juice. Now,
here and there, just a quick rip.
That's psychotic. But another thing that she does with that, which is a brilliant move, and people should all do this, keep your pickle juice stocked in the fridge in a tumbler like that so that you can make Bloody Marys with it. Make your Bloody Mary at the end, just a little like 2-count pour of the pickle juice out of that tumbler.
Oh,
fucking,
I'm gonna do that in an episode now, bro.
It's so good. It changes everything about your Bloody Mary.
I'm putting this down. I wrote the fucking notes down.
There you go.
I put that in my notes, bro.
Changes the game,
man. You're welcome, guys, for all these sweet food Come tips on. Today, dude.
We're making your life so much fucking Jesus. Better.
Attention, everybody. You're welcome.
We should get tips. This episode, people should be tipping us.
Yeah, we should put the Venmo up there, bro, for tip money.
Tipping us for our tips.
Hey, don't be slipping. Get the tip in.
Tip the tipster.
You know what I mean? Tips hotline.
Tip. The tipster.
Fucking get the tip in, bro. 20-inch whip in. Get the tip in.
Nothing but the tips. We should change this. We should do a spinoff podcast from this. It's called Nothing But the Tips.
Yeah.
And it's just tips.
Straight tips. Nothing. Also, pickle juice. Great. Have a little nice little, and when you want to have a little bit more of a festive shot, go ahead and get a little bit of a Jameson with a pickleback. Can't go wrong there.
We might have to fucking, this episode's only going to be 8 seconds. I'm just going to call it 8 seconds. It's only going to be 8 seconds because we're going to have to fucking remove all these brilliant ideas that we're sharing. Yeah. Why do we not have a fucking series on our social media called Nothing But the Tips? And it's just us giving tips.
I'm going to ask everybody to go ahead and exit the stage. We need everybody to clear out. The only reason I'm using this bullhorn in this episode, it's because my lady's at work and I'm home alone.
Boom. You know what? I changed it. Just the tips.
Just the tips.
Instead of just the tip. Just
and guess
the tips.
What else? Our special this weekend? Fucking steak tips.
Mmm.
Over butter noodles.
Damn it. Tips about steak Come on. Tips. On a What's show the- called Just the Tips.
Hey, bro, when's the last time you ate shit on the shingles, bro?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think. My mom made it. That was my favorite. That was the only breakfast that was actually prepared by Marine Corps cooks that I actually liked was shit on the shingle. But my mom makes it all the time with the dried beef gravy. Oh, come on. She toasts the bread.
Look at that, bro. It looks so fucking good right now.
Pours the chip beef gravy over it. It's hard to be a good shit on the shingle breakfast.
The shit on a shingle, I would like to just plop a nice over medium egg on top of that bitch. Maybe even go, you know what I might do? I might go full sunny side up so I can crack the egg.
Nice.
That way I can crack the egg on top of the shingles.
What is the egg called that you drop into the boiling water?
That poached. Is a poached egg. Egg. Yeah.
Have you ever eaten a poached egg?
Yeah, I have eaten a poached egg.
What's it like? I'm not eating a poached egg.
It's a lot of yolk.
Is it? It's, so it's like yolky. Sunny side up on steroids. Is it even less cooked than that?
I'd say it's about the same, I guess. Maybe more yolky.
Mm.
I did see a really good way to pop an egg out and present it the other day. It's one of these Asian homies that I follow that has a bunch of dope ass Korean, moves that he pulls in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So he takes his egg, and he gets and he has the pan going hot, a little oil, and then he just puts the egg whites in it. Right. He leaves the yolk on the inside of the shell.
Yeah.
He just goes back and forth. But then as he's doing that, he's swirling it around the pan so it covers like a one big, huge layer of egg white.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took the egg and he popped the egg right in the middle, the yolk right in the middle. And it looked like a fucking 12-inch egg.
Like a brontosaurus egg?
Yeah.
That you cooked?
And he rolled it up and you get a couple of rolls and it kind of like you roll a crepe.
Yeah.
And fold it over. It was sweet as shit, bro. I was like, that's dope.
By the way, I meant pterodactyl egg. Brontosauruses don't lay eggs. They actually birth their young, just like a cow does.
I was going to call you on your shit, but you got it, so.
Pterodactyl eggs. I'm on it. Rich people do the poached eggs. It's kind of a rich person move, and instead of sunny side up, it's like, well, I'm going to have a poached egg because I'm rich and I'm classy. So
my house is high six. High seven figures.
Yes. Now, when you get into the really, really elite level of wealth, then, and I'm talking like Illuminati, fucking that level of wealth, then you only eat poached eggs that are boiled in baby tears.
Mm. And from what I understand, you can also transfuse the baby tears into your tear ducts at the same event. That's what it's really sponsored by.
And it really is a good way to do a poached egg because the saltiness is right there. You don't have to salt the eggs afterward. It's been boiled in salty baby tears.
And, you know, it's a delicacy. You know, it's like that. It's like the Canadian coffee where the coffee bean has to be shitted out by a squirrel.
Yes.
And then that's they take that and they wash off the squirrel shit and then it becomes like the most potent sought after coffee bean on the planet. That's actually true.
That's
by the way.
A true thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Most expensive coffee bean is the fucking squirrel or something shits it out.
You know, I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever seen squirrel shit and I have a lot of squirrels. I should start looking for it. What does squirrel shit look like? Does it look like rabbit shit? Is it little balls? No, because I would see that. I see rabbit shit in my yard. I never see squirrel shit. I didn't even know squirrels did shit, but it makes sense. Yeah, every animal has to shit.
Yep, here it is, buddy. It's called the Kopi Luwaki. The K-O-P-I-L-U-W-A-K. Luwak. The Kopi Luwak is made from coffee beans plucked from a civet's feces. This is bad news for the sea of civets. Whatever a civet is, it's a civet. It's some sort of animal.
It's like a yard rat, kind of like a squirrel.
It fucking says yard rat right here in parentheses.
Does it?
Wild. No.
Nice. I'm going to start laying out coffee on my squirrel feeders and letting them eat it. And I'm going to go hunt down their poop and I'm going to strain it off just like my lady strains off the pickle juice. And I'm going to keep that in a Yeti until I have enough to fill it. And then I'm going to pour hot water in it. Repurpose the coffee. And it's going to be rich people coffee.
The fucking.
I'll be drinking my coffee like a billionaire.
Asian palm civet. A small mammal that looks like a cross between a cat and a raccoon. The beans are then cleaned.
I've seen them.
In the West, the Kopi Luwak has become known as the cat poop coffee.
Wow,
that $600 is $100 crazy. To $600 a pound, bro.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Cups of coffee in this shit, it costs $35 to $100 a cup, $100 to $600 a pound. It's widely considered to be the most expensive coffee in the world.
So there's
I don't know where I got Canada from. I will go ahead and digress on that.
Well, I mean, it's close to Asia,
Indonesia, Canada. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not right down the block.
So. It's because probably I'm going to guess it's something to do with the digestive enzymes of the kawalikawakaka.
Yeah.
And it does something special to the bean. It's like processing the bean to a whole new level by the time it passes through the yard cat's body.
And not just that. It's a very picky eater. Will only eat the best, most ripe coffee cherries.
Oh, so it's only shitting out the best coffee anyway.
And then, like you said, the animal's digestive enzymes change the structure of proteins in the coffee beans, which removes some of the acidity to make a smoother cup of coffee, Todd. That's according to that. Don't quote me on that. That's just according to National Geographic.
Yeah. I mean, you ever read anything that's not true in National Geographic? No.
And also, the digestion removes all the fruit pulp that sometimes gets left on the bean during processing, bruh.
I bitch about that all the time. The fruit pulp and coffee.
Now, this would not make you...
The cherry bean coffee.
I guess it's not... This is really bad for the little buddies that shit these out.
Why?
I guess everybody wants to capture them and feed the fuck out of them. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I'll be honest with you. I don't care what kind of animal it is. If it shit out like the best coffee ever, I'm fucking keeping it in a cage. And feeding it regular coffee, Folgers. I'm feeding it Folgers, and it's going to be shitting some $35 a cup coffee.
Listen, you don't have to be a wild Kubayaki. You know, it's you know that the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup, my man.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your butt.
That used to be the best commercial, bro. They show the tin can, and then my grandpa had like 400 of them cans with nuts and bolts in them.
Uh-huh.
My grandpa's a coffee king, the coffee can king, bro.
Yeah, oh, you should have seen my grandpa Flannery.
He had some good-ass coffee cans.
You know why he had some good-ass coffee cans? Also doubled as his spittoon.
Oh,
so they were everywhere on the floor, and he chewed like Red Man. And he would always have a big-ass fucking cheek full of it. And he didn't have any teeth, right? He had false teeth, but he didn't wear them very often.
Yeah.
So he's always just chewing this big wad thing, and he would just turn around. He'd be sitting at the kitchen table with the fucking can of Folgers down there, the blue can of Folgers, and he just, and you hear the pr-ting off the fucking coffee can. They would be everywhere, dude. Like, you know how bad I am with spit cups? He had these giant coffee cans all over the house.
Yeah.
And he just puts the plastic lid on. I'm like, well, that's still going to spill, Grandpa, if I knock it over, which happened all the time. You can run it through there. I mean, my mom had eight sisters. When there was a family fucking function going on, there was 30 hillbilly kids running through the house at all times, knocking over spit can coffee cans.
That's insanity. But those goddamn coffee cans, bro, they were the real deal, dude.
Mm-hmm.
My grandpa always had mostly nuts and bolts in his. And you know what else? He'd also have cigarette butts. My grandpa did cigarette butts, bro.
Oh, cigarette butts. Collecting back in the day, I forget about just ashtrays constantly everywhere full. That was our childhood. That was my childhood.
Me
Everybody
too.
Smoked.
Everybody.
Everybody. My grandma, my grandpa, my mom, dad, all my aunts, uncles, everybody smoked. And even when you got in their cars, the ashtrays. Remember when cars had ashtrays?
Oh yeah.
And they full all the time. And there would be ash floating through the interior of the car everywhere you went, because you rolled down the window and the air would suck the ashes out of the ashtray and just swirl them around the inside of your station wagon.
Yeah, luckily weed doesn't linger like cigarette smoke.
Yeah, cigarette smoke goes away.
Sometimes, you don't want to be smoking. Occasionally, you don't really think it's a good idea to smoke joints in the room because that's going to linger for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And then they may or may not make you pay $250 to come run the machine in there so people can stay in it the next night. That could happen sometimes. But a lot of times, you just want to smoke outside. But overall, like in my truck, I roll the windows down for a day. I'm good.
After my grandma and grandpa McComas were both gone, my aunt ended up like living in their house. So all the four kids inherited the house, and then they decided, my Aunt Karen like bought out her other three siblings, and then she owned the house. So anyway, my grandpa, when it was a church, he bought this church, and then he converted it into a house, right? And instead of drywall, he used plywood. And the plywood after was so, like, it was petrified. It was the hardest material known to man. And part of the reason it was so petrified is because everybody fucking smoked in that house without ventilation for decades. So when she went to wash the walls, dude, like, just the towel in one swipe, just brown, like from tar that he encased that entire fucking house. Like, yeah. Didn't realize. And both my grandma and grandpa stopped smoking probably before I was in middle school. But still, all those years of fucking people smoking in there and going to town, just caked on. You imagine what everybody was inside everybody's body. And listen, I like the sensation of smoking. I still want to smoke a cigarette when I drink. There's nothing that feels better except maybe blowjobs. Girls, I'm sorry you don't know what that's like, but I assume what gets done to you is a similar existential, essential level of ecstasy. But cigarette smoking a cigarette is very close to that.
And my mom and dad, they both still smoke.
Yeah. I mean, because it's awesome. It's not great for you by any means. It's bad for you, but it is awesome. I'm here to tell people that haven't ever smoked, just know this. It's awesome.
I love one of my favorite things are all the little perks of smoking, you know, like the being able to pause and the pauses and the how it adds the dramatic, or it can add the scenes, like,
dude, it's
you know,
what's somebody smoke in a movie? I mean, they look awesome.
It's the perfect amount of, it's the perfect beat in between sentences and things.
You squint one eye when you, after you breathe it in and you hold it, and you squint the one eye, and then.
That's what I would like this. I'd say I'd
go. And then you drop the line. I hope I didn't leave the oven on.
Or I'd go. You know, the funny thing about that little black spot on top of chicken shit, it's chicken shit too. You see, like, it's perfect, the beats with the smoke.
Dude, do you remember how good Damon Wayans was at stand-up? I mean, did you ever watch his stand-up?
Not really, not much of back.
Damon Wayans was a monster, right? And he started the Comedy Stories, best friends with Jim Carrey, or best comedy friends with Jim Carrey. And he just went into acting. But he was so fucking good at stand-up. He used to have this bit. I mean, obviously in Living Color, like, a lot of those characters that he did were part of his stand-up, right? So, like, Handyman and all that stuff. So
Handyman!
Which he could never do that bit now.
Nah.
But he used to do this bit about his dad, and he'd be like, his dad was like a big-time stoner, you know? And he was like, whenever I go over, my dad would pull me to the side, and he'd take this big hit, he'd be like, already been fucking up a school again.
That's perfect.
It's the greatest fucking. Oh my God, he's so good. Yeah, and he was all characters. God, he's good.
Oh man. I didn't know what the fuck you were gonna say, bro. That's perfect.
Already been fucking up a school again. Shit. All right, brother. Well, let's get out of here. Right. Sorry we got started late, guys. I had to build a fucking amazing-ass bar lounger. Did I send you pictures, Sean?
No, I have not seen it.
All right, I'm going to send you pictures, and I'm also going to put this thing on social media. It's unbelievable what my lady and I spent 2 days building in the backyard. I think it's probably a fucking $4,000 chair at this point. We thought we were going to save money by building ourselves. Thing is, you can't, if you look right now online, you cannot find an outdoor patio chair, couch, lounger that is bar height. And all the time when we're sitting at the bar, you sit at that bar for long enough, those stools start to grind into your asshole when you're out there.
Yeah.
We're like, man, we just want to be able to watch a movie and just, like, lounge. We want a lounger, but everything we got is too low and the bar blocks our half the TV. We need something higher. So we made our own. And it's pretty fucking incredible.
It, bro.
I'll send you pictures of it. I'll put it on social media. Maybe one day if our Patreon kicks up enough, we'll have, maybe I'll make one for for the premium members. Sure. maybe we'll have a drawing with all the premium members and somebody gets a fucking $4,000 homemade bar height lounger for your backyard.
I was like, everybody gets one?
Yeah, not everybody. All right, brother, let's get the fuck out of here. Subscribe to our YouTube if you're not. Please, please, please. It's very good. It's the best kept secret on YouTube.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a secret right now.
Yeah. Let's expose it. Let's go. Tell a friend. Love you, brother.